So, how is everybody? Danny, you're back in Singapore?
Singapore, yeah. It's very hot in Singapore.
Ah, very hot. Here it is. Yeah, here it's okay, yeah. A little bit humid. So how many people are?
For now, there are 19.
Okay.
19.
Yeah. So, let's start with the questions, yeah?
Yes. So, yeah, anyone with questions to ask? You can raise your hand. Anyone like to start? Yes. Oh, yeah, Tang. Oh, okay.
Four.
Yeah?
Can I ask, can you introduce the concept of four elements?
Of what?
Four elements. And like the fire, earth, and water. Like, is it important? Or
oh, four elements. Ah. I mean, you have to learn how to pronounce the vocals. Oh. Yeah. Four elements, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything is made out of, in this universe, is made out of these four elements, yeah? That's the earth element, that is the water element, that is the fire element, and the air element, yeah? What is the earth element is solidity, yeah? What is the fire element is temperature. What is the water element is the connectivity, and what is the air element is the movability. That's it.
So how do I apply the concept of four elements in aging?
In what? In eating?
Aging. When a person grows old, what happens to the four elements? It's still there,
yeah.
Compared to a young person, right?
Nothing
is the same, right? Nothing, yeah? Changes.
Nothing changes. Anicca. Yeah?
Okay.
Everything is constantly changing, yeah? So the earth element, you know, becomes, you know, more solid, you know. The water element, you know, becomes less, you know. Yeah.
Okay. The air will increase when a person age, or it doesn't?
No, the air goes out. Yeah. I mean, when you do investigation of the body, you know, I mean, look at death and see what is going out first.
I assume it's the air that will go out first because...
No, no, not assume. We don't assume when we do investigation.
Okay. The air will go first, then followed by the temperature, which is the fire element.
Yeah.
Then after that, it will start to dehydrate. As it decomposes, it will start to lose the water.
Yeah.
Then after that, it will form bones, and then it will dissolve back into the... Right.
And the more earth element, you know, one of the organs or one of the parts of the body has, the less, you know, I mean, the more times it takes to dissolve. So that's why the bones are normally, you know, around for a long, long time. Ah.
Okay. I will try. Thank you.
Don't, you know, I mean, just go, you know, I mean, you should go on the loathsomeness of the body, not going into concepts, you know, You have to see, you know, you have to see when you open up, you know, when you open up a body that was, you know, submerged into water for a long time. And then you open it up, you know, oh, the smell, you know, And then you see all these, you know, things inside this body, you know, that starts to rot away, yeah? That is our body, yeah? That we cherish so much, you know, that we take care of it, you know, in the morning, you know, we wash it, you know, we comb the hair, you know, and so on. For what? Yeah? It's just, you know, it's just body parts, yeah? So why are we so attached to? That is the investigation that we do, yeah? We attach to things, you know, because we have an illusion about it, yeah? So that it's something nice, yeah? So that whatever goes into the body is very nice, you know, very tasty, you know. Whatever comes out of the body is, yeah, has one stink, you know, and one color, yeah? Or one taste, yeah? So this body, you know, transform everything that is nice and beautiful into something that is disgusting that we don't want to see. Yeah? You don't want to look at the shit, you know, that comes out, yeah? Yeah? You flush it down the toilet, yeah? You don't want to touch it anymore. Yeah? But as long as the shit is inside the body, you know, and it's warm, nice, warm, yeah? The moment it comes out, it's disgusting. The same with the sweat or with saliva, yeah? Same, yeah? Whatever comes out of the body, we disgust it, yeah? Whatever goes into the body or onto the body, I mean, we love, yeah? That's where greed and hatred comes from, yeah? We love the things that goes in or on the body, and we hate the things that comes out of the body. That's investigation, yeah? If you go into the element, you know, nothing is disgusting. Huh? True. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no questions.
Yes, Marina, yeah?
Anyone else with questions? You want? If not, Mampai, can read the questions?
Yeah, read the chat or read the questions, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want, you can type your questions in the chat. I can read it out for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, May, you want to go first? Good question, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe you can go first. I have a question. I can ask. The last time, I don't mind.
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Lompo, I asked a question last week, and I'm trying to practice, and I'm following you. I feel truthfulness, like your talks is coming from the heart, but I try to practice like every day, but not very intense. Half an hour or something like that. But I have a few questions. Where should I start? Because I was also seriously thinking about life, and it's not the problem only because of me, like everybody has their own problem. So yeah, the thing is that I have something to think about my parents and financial status, and you know, they're getting older, and I'm the only child. So I mean, yeah, everybody, like there are a lot of people only child, so not only my problem. But the thing is, I also found it very peaceful, and you know, like I like the monastic environment as well. So yeah, I mean, I also like Europe, and one of the main reasons I'm here is I want to help the Westerner or European. So yeah, you know, I have kind of this, and I was trying to focus on my study, and I really can't concentrate fully, and you know, like I'm thinking, I'm not forced to study, you know, but I have to do some of the tests and exam. So one time I'm trying to focus on it, but I can't, so I'm just, should I do meditation right at that moment when I'm thinking, you know, like confusing between the two parts of like this part and the other part. So my question is like, according to this case, I have like two questions. Can you give me advice, and can you tell me your inspiration, how you decided to become a monk? And I know like you met Lomtom Mahabodh, so this you have very great karma, but can you help me something? Like your, I don't know, something.
I mean, where are you at the moment? England or?
I'm in Prague, in Czech Republic.
In the Czech Republic. Okay.
Yeah.
Where's your original home?
In Myanmar, Myanmar. 5 hours away from Rangoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your parents are in Myanmar, or where are your parents? Yes.
They are in a village.
Yeah.
In Myanmar.
Yeah. Oh. Is the village peaceful, or is it, there are a lot of wars going on in Myanmar?
My parents are healthy, until now, and they're okay.
So, if you finish, now think about it, when you finish studying, you have a degree, and then you go to work, Where do you go to work, and then, every morning you get up, you go to work, and you have to work for 7-8 hours, or maybe even now you have to work longer, 9 hours, I don't know, And in the evening you come home, you're tired, you eat, and you go to sleep, And maybe you have a little bit of meditation. Is that the life that you want? That is what you have to ask yourself, Is that life give you enough satisfaction that you can go on day by day by day, And then ask the same question about meditation. When I'm meditating, for 8 or 9 hours a day, do I feel more contented than anything that I do in the world? That is exactly the reason what I did, In my life, I was working, I was meditating, and in the end, it was obvious, that the life of meditation is bringing much more satisfaction than the life of, working, having money, being able to travel around the world, but, in the end, it was not satisfactory, The life of meditation is more satisfactory, and that's why I decided, to go into homelessness, I didn't go, instantly to Lungta Mahabur because I didn't know him. So I went to England to meditation centers, but then I was not satisfied with what they were teaching, That's what I said last time to you, they really do not know, the teaching of the Lord Buddha in its depths, So I was stuck there, and I said, this cannot be true, that cannot be true. Why do they teach this? Why do they teach that? And then I decided, I read a book of Lungta Mahabur, then I decided, okay, he is the one who knows everything, I have to go and see him. And then I got stuck there, I didn't want to go anywhere else, I spent, the rest of my, the rest of his life, in Wat Papantat, So you have to decide and let the heart decide, not the mind. The mind, every day, it comes up with another conclusion. But the heart knows the truth.
Yeah.
Ask your heart.
I told my parents, and they told me, okay, you will have more experience, more skills, and just keep going with studying or working, whatever.
You as a Burmese, in the Czech Republic, it is not as comfortable as being back in Asian country.
I think I'm comfortable. Here. I think so, I'm okay with people.
Yeah, you're okay with people, but you don't have the same culture.
But the thing is that I met some of the group, who also doing practice, meditation, here in Prague. So I enjoy it, and I enjoy every Wednesday. It's not So I don't know. I also sometimes, I feel I want to help because, I don't know, this could be Kilesa as well, but, European, in a sense, they are kind of, smart or something like that, but, they don't have much knowing about the teaching of Buddha, in Asia, in our country. So I want to help them. So that's also the great motivation. I don't know.
That is the Kilesa. Help yourself before you can help others.
Yeah, that's true, exactly.
I mean, you're completely confused. So you teach other people confusion? Huh? You can only teach once you know the truth. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, yeah. The people, that's why do you think I left the West? Because they think they are smart, they think they understand. Hmm? But what they think they understand is not the true understanding. It's what they think, what they suppose, what it means. You know, it's just like after the time of the Lord, when Lord Buddha passed away, when you read these commentaries about his teaching, I mean, they go into absolutely speculation what it means about what he said. Yeah? Only Sariputta, you know, could really understood what the Lord Buddha said and explain it, you know, in great detail to the monks there. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But the commentaries are all, you know, about, you know, thinking this, thinking that, you know. And there's no end to thinking, and you know that for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. I have to understand myself first. But I also think there is some kind of good condition that if I'm here, then if I can, you know, I don't know, then I can share. If I have something good, for example, good food, then I can share to other people.
That is okay. If you have good food, you know, if you have a nice car, you can share it with other people, but you cannot share meditation with other people because you don't have the experience, yeah? You don't know what it is about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that, but, you know, I mean, yeah. I've seen so many, you know, teachers in the West who think they know, who think they understand, but they don't know and they don't understand. And what they're teaching is, you know, what they're teaching other people is, you know, is not the right thing. Yeah. It is very interesting when you just listen with your heart to what other people are teaching, and then you know they have no clue whatsoever. Yeah. And that's what made me go from the West to the East. Yeah. And to find the real teaching. Yeah. That is not thinking. Yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha never thought about, you know, what he has to say or thought about the universe. He experienced the universe, and so he was sure, yeah, whatever, you know, his teaching was right. He understood it from within, yeah?
Yeah.
And the West is trying to understand it from outside. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I also want to tell them, like, they can ask you questions. Like, I mean, I can, yeah, whenever I have, like, opportunity, then I share the link, and I also, like, they can also go to your monastery, and they can request, and, you know, they can listen to your talks, and I also share them. But I don't think, some of my friends make it, yeah, but it's okay. That's where I try. And yeah, also, my question is, like, there's one friend who didn't know anything about Buddhism, but she is interested, like, to explore, for meditation. So I should give her the link, your links, like, to explore meditation.
Even in the West, they have nice meditation centers where you can teach the basic, you know, Goenka, for instance. They have Goenka retreats. That is okay. That is for the first contact, that is proper, yeah. If you want to go deeper, if you want to understand the truth about yourself, then you have to come to the East, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the first step is like knowing the breath is okay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, they should make a, you know, Goenka retreats are one of the best retreats that are offered in the West or even here in Asia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if she wants to know anything about meditation, if she wants to go deeper, you know, then she can listen to the talks or can come here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I will tell them.
Yeah. There is something. Yeah? There is something very important that we do not understand. Yeah. If we try to convince others that Buddhism is something that is really fantastic, we ourselves are not convinced. So with other people, trying to convince other people that, you know, you should do meditation, you should do this, you should do that, yeah? I mean, when they go for it, you know, I mean, it makes us feel safer, but we are ourselves not convinced. We don't have to tell anybody, yeah? If the people come and ask, that is something different. Then we can answer, or we can say, no, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But to go out and preach, just like the Christians are, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Keep that in mind, yeah? Hmm? If I want to convince somebody else, you know, I myself, I'm not convinced.
Yeah, okay. I will keep it in mind.
Good.
That's all. Because my friend is interested and she asked me, like, I can get her to know about meditation and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's not from my side. It's from her side. She asked me, so.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
I also talk about in the meditation group in Prague. I also talk about Lungtao Mahabor, Nopocha, and also about you because, yeah, somehow.
Don't talk about me.
No, you are like my teacher. You are my teacher because, like, yeah, it's really helpful for me. So, I mean, yeah. Thank you very much, Lombard. Next time, I may have more questions. Yeah. I wish you to be happy.
Okay.
Long live. I need you to be long live for me. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I guess no one else has questions. I'll start reading the ones. This is from last week. Venerable Ajahn, is it against the precept of not lying to exaggerate facts not with the intention of harming but of making jokes? For instance, once a co-worker poked me on the back and I told my supervisor that she punched me. They both laughed, and because it was clearly just a joke, with no intention to cause harm. In this case, did I break the precept of not lying? Thank you so much for everything.
What was the incident?
Okay, so he poked his hand at the back. Oh, sorry. The co-worker, his colleague, poked him on his back, but he told his supervisor that she punched him instead.
Yeah, but what is the speech? What does he think is the wrong speech? Just laughing, you know, laughing is not against the precepts, it's not lying.
No, not laughing, how do I say this? The colleague maybe gently just touched him on the back, but he told his supervisor that she punched him instead.
Oh.
But it was clearly a joke. He just exaggerated what
he did. No, it's not a joke, yeah. I mean, it's not very strong, but it's, you know, I mean, why did he say that? Yeah? I mean, a joke has always, you know, there's some truth in it, yeah? So he wanted to make her feel bad, you know? That was the intention, and it's not good, you know, he shouldn't do that, yeah?
Okay. Next questions. These are from this week. If so few people are entering the stream, and even fewer are becoming arahants, what hope is there for the vast majority of humanity, especially in today's age of constant smartphone distractions, where the chances are even slimmer?
That's a good question, but, you know, even at the times of the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, what did the Lord Buddha teach? 70% of the population of the human race have no chance than to go down to hell. Yeah? The rest, the 30%, or most of the 30%, you know, today they go for it, you know, today they go for keeping the precepts, and then the next day they go against, you know, then they go again, they are getting more interested in Buddhism. They are the nayas. They sway forth and back, yeah? That is most of us, yeah? And then there are the ones who are determined, yeah, who try to find a way out. And, you know, no matter if they are smartphones or not smartphones, they can find a way, you know, to get out, yeah? Yeah? And that is just, you know, within 1%, yeah? The nayas, you know, I mean, they go to the monastery or even ordain, you know, for a monk or 1, 2, 3, or 4 years, and then they get tired of it, you know, and then this rope, go back to the worldly life, you know, and in the next life they take it up again, and then, you know, go back to the, yeah, so, I mean, that is what the Lord Buddha called the nayas, you know, and they're pretty much the 30%, yeah. There's only 1%, you know, who is more determined, you know, who sticks, you know, when they become monks, you know, or mechis or nuns, you know, they stick to the rule, you know, until the end of their life. And in the next life, they do it again and again and again. I mean, the hope is there, you know, and we don't know what we have done in the previous lives, yeah? But for the most of the people, you know, even here in Thailand, I see the younger people, you know, the older people are still coming to the monastery. The younger people are always occupied with their smartphones and they don't realize what is going on. The delusion, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha talked about, you know, we are in a delusion, yeah? We are in the illusion that, you know, that this is all real, yeah? And now within this illusion, we dive into another illusion, you know, I mean, we go down a step further into the smartphones, yeah? And we don't even realize, you know, I mean, after a while, we don't even realize what is real and what is not real. At least, you know, when we live here in the forest without smartphones, without technology, you know, I mean, we do have a grip on, you know, the reality that we live in, yeah? But people who live in the reality of their smartphones, they don't even have a reality, what is really there. Yeah? The constant dukkha, you know, the dukkha of the body, the dukkha of the heart, yeah, the first noble truth. Yeah? If you do not understand the first noble truth, I mean, there's no hope. Yeah? And in the smartphone, you know, or before it was the TV, yeah, they really, you know, make us feel, you know, that there's no dukkha in our life, yeah? So we don't see the dukkha, so we don't find the way out, yeah? People who see and understand there is dukkha, the dukkha of the body and the dukkha of the heart, yeah? I mean, they will try to find a way out, yeah? But if you have your smartphone and constantly, you know, scrolling down, reading this, laughing a little bit, you know, getting angry, then laughing a little bit, getting angry and so on, they don't really know what kind of world they're living in, the real world, yeah? So, she's quite correct, you know, I mean, constantly talk against, you know, using the smartphones, you know, if you have to use them, you know, for the purpose of using them for the purpose of your work, but then leave them aside, yeah? And here in the monastery, people are not allowed to use smartphones, yeah? Or even phones, yeah? Okay? Next.
Is it better or even necessary for someone to first achieve a certain level of professional success or worldly accomplishment before taking up the path of renunciation? Or does that actually make it worse?
Well, that really depends on. Sometimes it can be helpful, you know. I mean, if you have a degree, yeah, and work and see, you know, that, you know, I mean, the dukkha doesn't go away. Actually, the dukkha increases, yeah. And that makes you more confident to go the spiritual path, yeah? But it is not necessarily true for everyone, yeah? Some people, you know, I mean, they see, you know, for instance, for me, you know, I was starting to do my doctorate, you know, and then I suddenly realized, I mean, this is useless, yeah? Let's go, yeah? Let's pack up things and then go into the homelessness. Yeah. For some people, you know, I mean, they stop in the middle of the study and say, what am I studying for? Look at the world, you know. I mean, the world is at war with itself, yeah. I mean, why should I study, you know? I mean, everything seems to be in completely disarray, yeah. And that's what the world at the moment is, yeah? I mean, it wasn't in the 70s when I grew up, yeah? The world seemed to be rather stable, yeah? And, you know, there was a future for people, you know, who had the degree to get a job, yeah? But nowadays, you know, I mean, what? Everything is changing, you know, there's a war, and there's a war, and there's a war, yeah? I mean, nothing, you know, I mean, the economy collapses and so on. Yeah, what you're doing, yeah? So, it might be, you know, if people are reflecting like that, you know, it might be a motivation, you know, to go the spiritual life and wait, you know, wait until, you know, maybe in 1,000 or 10,000 years, you know, the people on the earth have a stable life again, yeah? Or the economic situation is better, yeah? Whatever, yeah?
Next question. One issue I have with the concept of karma is that if my current situation stems from actions in a past life, and that life was shaped by the one before it, stretching back through an infinite series of lives, then who is ultimately responsible?
You? I mean, the answer is very, very clearly, you are responsible, because, I mean, that what you assume is you, or that what we assume is I, is that what creates, you know, this is the attachment of the five, to the five khandhas, that is what creates I, yeah, that's what creates personality, and the personality can change, of course, it will change from life to life, yeah, but the, that what creates us, you know, our attachment, yeah, is that what creates, you know, intention is what creates karma, yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, there's a nice example, you know. I mean, in German, you know, I mean, there's a saying, the oppressed of today is the oppressor of tomorrow. And I think we can see that very clearly, you know. In the war Israel against Gaza, yeah? They do just the same things as the Germans did to the Jewish. Now the Jewish do to the, yeah, to the Palestinian, yeah? So, the Lord Buddha gave, you know, I mean, two women with one child came to see the Lord Buddha and asked him for the help. One, the real mother of the child, yeah? I mean, she knew that it was her child, but the other woman wanted, you know, said, no, it is my child, yeah? And so they went to the Lord Buddha to see him, you know, to make a decision, yeah? Then, yeah, the Lord Buddha asked him, how many lifetimes do you want to do that? In the last life, you were the mother and she was asking for the child. And then you were the mother and she was asking for the child. You did that for 7 lifetimes. When are you going to stop? Yeah? Then they stopped, yeah. It's repeating itself every time, yeah? Whatever we do, you know, if we don't find a way out, you know, I mean, it is like a hamster wheel. You go around and around and around, yeah? Or like I sometimes say, roller coaster. You go up and down and then go up and down and up and down and forever, yeah? Unless you realize that you make a mistake, that's where you can change, yeah? You can change your personality, yeah? Some of the traits of your characteristics, you know, are easier to change and some of them are more difficult to change. So, yeah? Okay?
Next question. This one is quite long. Dear Venerable Ajahn, I have recently moved to a new city for college and here I am feeling very lonely. Although it has only been a week, I'm still trying to keep up the practice of sati and panya. I do investigate these feelings, but deep inside, I feel I have this little hope that one day I'll find someone, I'll click with that person, and I think about talking my heart out with them and playing with them along with lustful thoughts too. But I can deal with them better by asuva, but it's these more innocent, latent desires of mine which are making me feel lonely. I don't really have anyone to share things with. I'm not a close person though. I try to be open in the present, but I also can observe this urge to go sit near someone to initiate conversation and all, but then I don't do that. I kind of want it to happen naturally. I know you have said the answer to loneliness is samadhi, but I don't have the taste of samadhi yet. Besides, I just want to be loved personally by someone. How do I deal with this? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I gave already the answer. The answer is samadhi, you know, where you don't feel loneliness. I mean, where there is no future, when there is no past, yeah? I mean, that's where we feel happy. The other thing is, you know, I mean, if we want other people to love us, you know, I mean, we should love other people, yeah? I mean, we should cherish them, we should respect them, you know, people as they are, yeah? That doesn't mean that we have to, you know, to say whatever they do is good. That's not the point, yeah? I mean, cherish them because they are human beings, yeah? Love them for what they are, yeah? this is so much from the West, you know. I mean, all the people in the West, they need, you know, to form groups, you know, where they feel loved or accepted, you know. I mean, it's a deficiency. It's a deficiency of our society, you know, where everybody is thrown out, yeah, by on its own, you know, where there is no big family, yeah, family connection, you know, where their mothers and fathers or brothers and sisters, you know, are all, you know, all against each other, competitive, yeah. This competitiveness, you know, that is in the West, you know, makes us really extremely lonely, yeah. And from this loneliness, you know, I mean, we just try to be natural. Be yourself, yeah? Yeah? I mean, sometimes we have to, you know, I mean, it was the same thing, you know, from my upbringing, you know. I mean, you try to satisfy everybody, but you cannot, yeah? Satisfy yourself, yeah? And be happy, you know, be happy within yourself. If others don't love you, you know, it's their problem, yeah? Tell yourself, yeah? I'm the biggest happiness to myself, you know, if other people don't care about me or find me ugly or this or that, you know, I mean, that's their problem. It's not my problem, yeah? How I feel is my problem, you know? How other people feel, you know, it's their problem, And there's nothing. There's nothing whatsoever that you can do that other people will love you. Yeah? Unless you crawl into their, you know, bottom, you know. Yeah? And that makes you, yeah? Makes you unhappy. Yeah? Be happy yourself, yeah? Find your happiness within yourself, yeah? And that is the only thing, and don't give up, yeah? You're giving up so easily. Yes, it does. It doesn't work, you know. I mean, until I went into samadhi, it took 1.5 years, yeah, of everyday training, yeah. 1 hour, 2 hours, you know, 2 hours a day, yeah. Weekends, you know, 3 to 6 hours, yeah. Training, and, you know, then suddenly, you know, you jump into samadhi, and then, you know. So, instead of putting all your energy in finding friends, you know, and overcoming loneliness, use this energy to meditate and practice, you know, until you find it within yourself. Because all the feelings arise within you, yeah? And then you will see, you know, if you start, you know, you start to cherish other people, respect other people will respect you and cherish you. It's also karma. That is also karma. Whatever comes, you know. Okay. Yeah. Enough. Next.
Okay, next. Do animals have sati? I mean, they don't really have thoughts, just pure perception, right?
Of course they have sati. Yeah. And they probably also have thoughts, yeah? And they have also, you know, some of them have memory, yeah? I mean, they are very smart animals, you know. Huh? I mean, otherwise, you know, if they don't have sati, if they don't, yeah. I mean, cats have a lot of sati. Yeah, just look at them, you know, how they crouch down, you know, how their how good their perception is, yeah. Other animals don't have a lot, you know, when you look at the chickens, they are just like human beings, you know. I mean, when I was in Pandat, you know, I mean, there were thousands of chickens, you know. I mean, I just watched them, you know, how they interact, you know, and I said, where is the difference between humans and chickens? There's no difference, you know. Female chickens, male chickens, you know, I mean, this is the same thing, yeah. But there are animals like elephants, you know, or, you know, and horses, you know, and animals that are close to the human beings, and they are used as workhorses, you know, for the humans, or as tools for the humans, you know. I mean, they do have a lot of sati, and they do have memories, you know. So I mean, they do have all the faculties, yeah. But it's not that as much developed, you know, as the human being, yeah. So don't say that, yeah. Mm-mm. Next time, go to a chicken farm, you know, and observe, you know, how humans behave, yeah. Not different. Okay.
Okay. Next few questions are on buddho. Sometimes my buddho is soft and slow, but it feels like this gives space for kilesas. Should I gently speed it up, or is that controlling?
As long as you can stay with the buddho, stay with the buddho and just know how the buddho. If it is soft, know that the buddho is soft. If it is strong, know that the buddho is strong. And also know, you know, if there are thoughts in the background, you know, if there are thoughts in the background, you know, make the Buddha more prominent. If there are no thoughts in the background, you know, I mean, then just observe the Buddha. It will change its rhythm, just like, you know, with the breath, yeah. Or use, you know, put with breathing in and do with breathing out. That is okay, yeah. Until one of them becomes more stronger, and then you can either stay with the breath or you can stay with the Buddha. Next.
So it's okay to speed up.
What? Yeah, it's okay to speed up a little bit, you know. But don't try to control it too much, yeah. Install it, you know, and then observe what is happening, yeah. When you see it is slacking off, then of course, then you put some more energy in it and speed it up, yeah. Or make it more pronounced. That's okay. Perfectly. Next.
Should I intentionally recite buddho the whole day, or is it okay to just nudge it occasionally and then listen to it repeatedly, naturally, if it stays steady?
If it stays there, then, you know, observe it. If it doesn't stay there, you know, bring it back. You can do it, you know, if you don't have a complicated way of life, you know, you can do it from the moment you wake up in the morning, buddho, 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 yeah. You brush your teeth, buddho, buddho, buddho. You eat something, buddho, 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 you know. And then you go to work, buddho, buddho, buddho. If you have some mental work to do, of course, then you cannot do the buddho, yeah. And then after you finish your work, you know, I mean, then go back to the buddho, yeah, until you fall asleep. Okay?
Okay. When distracted from buddho, should I label every distraction, like controlling, hearing, etc., before returning to the buddho, or should I avoid labeling unless the distraction is strong or persistent?
He's completely right. Unless the distraction is very strong, then label it, you know, I mean doubt, you know, I mean if you have doubt that the buddho or, yeah. Then label it and then go back to the buddho. But not every distraction. Huh? I wouldn't do that, you know. I mean, in the end, you will know the distraction, yeah. I mean, the labeling helps, you know, in the beginning, but then people, you know, get attached to the labeling, you know, and then they never get into samadhi, yeah. In the beginning, you know, it helps, you know, if you're starting with your meditation and you say, okay, thought, you know, or memory, you know, or distraction, you know, or feeling or so, and then go back to the buddho, yeah. But then people get attached to this labeling and then, you know, I mean, they never get one pointed. They never get into samadhi. So, like he said, you know, only when it's strong distraction, you know, label it and then instantly go back to the Buddha. Yeah. Okay?
Last question. What is the basic difference between the Hinduism and Buddhism?
How should I know? I don't know Hinduism. I mean, you have to ask the Lord Buddha, you know. I mean, he was brought up as a Hindu, you know, and then he said, you know, I mean, Hinduism, you know, is probably the very much the same as, you know, Muslim, you know, or, you know, what Christianity, they believe in gods, you know, creators of this world, you know, gods that interfere, you know, in the human realm, you know. I don't know. Buddhism is, you know, I mean, seeing the world as it is, yeah? Seeing the reality, seeing karma, seeing, you know, seeing all these. What you say, you know, yes, you can say there are concepts, you know, seeing the Four Noble Truths, yeah? Understanding karma, you know, understanding the precepts, yeah? That is very important. Some of the religion do have the same, similar precepts, but not all of them, yeah? I mean, Hinduism never leads you out, yeah? I mean, it's a belief form, you know, like most of the religion. That's why I say, you know, Buddhism is the only true religion, yeah? In the sense, you know, from the Latin word religare, pointing back to oneself, yeah? That's where all the troubles start within ourselves, yeah? And that's where we go back, you know, and solve the problems, you know, that are in our heart, that are disturbing, yeah, our peace. Yeah, and happiness. Okay?
Yeah, Lompo, I think there are no more questions.
Yeah, are there? Yeah, did some people, you know, got some questions, you know, from the answers that I gave? Maybe yeah. There are some more questions from the audience?
Yeah. Rohan, you understand?
Hello?
Yeah, you can hear me.
Good evening, Ajahn. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, so I wanted to give you an update about how my practice has been going and basically what I've been doing for last month or so. Basically, my samadhi is not really going well. I'm not really focusing much on sitting. It's not like I'm intentionally not focusing on samadhi. It's just that I don't get any time to do this. The privacy, I guess, and in my daily life, I'm trying to keep the sati as much as I can, mindfulness, and whenever I go about my day and any kind of negative thought or about my body or negative self-depreciating thought comes, I investigate it right then and there by really allowing it. First of all, allowing it to be what it is, and you know, really feel it. And then if it's regarding body, then I start to look at myself as a skeleton, and flesh and mucus and all that. It happens a lot of time during the day, so I keep bringing it again and again whenever the same thought arises. Mm. And I'm noticing that lately it's working because the thoughts have less power on me and I'm not really falling for them, in short.
Hmm?
And one thing, yeah, so I wanted to ask, am I going the right way? Because I am feeling, you know, very confident, I can say.
You don't feel confident?
No, I do feel confident. Okay. I do feel that yeah. I connect with people. When I'm talking to them, it's like I can really... I don't really, you know, trust them and all. I can really be at that situation right then and without any judgment. And I can, that really helps the other person open up and it's very refreshing. I can feel this difference in me. Really socializing is getting easier. And besides this, yeah, whenever my... Panya or wisdom is not really up to that part to deal with a certain situation, then what I do is just use the sati, or, you know, mindfulness.
Do the what?
Really allow the sati and just really allow it, accept it. What it is, if I don't have any, you know, way to deal with that, to counter it. So that's what I'm doing for last months or so. Am I doing right? Because I'm not doing samadhi really, actually. I also heard you twice. I'm sorry to say if I'm using your statement against you, but you said that samadhi is actually useless in terms of liberation. It's required, but it's
you do need samadhi. I mean, you need at least to practice, yeah? I mean, if you read samadhi or not, that is not the important thing. But you have to practice concentration, staying on the Buddha, staying on the breath, yeah? When you do it, you know, outside when you do something, you know, and you think you're mindful, you're actually, yeah, not really that mindful, or you don't have really that sati, but what you're telling about your life, yeah, that seems perfectly correct. It is a phase where you investigate yourself, all the problems that you have, and a lot of things are coming up, and you deal with it. But the important thing for you to keep, yeah, at least, you know, 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes in the evening, and then do a daily reflection, yeah? Because that will open up the Pandora box, you know, for you to see what is really going on in your life, and then makes you able to change things, yeah? So what you're talking about, that is quite normal, and it is not in the wrong way, yeah? But, you know, you have to streamline it a little bit, yeah? So keep the samadhi the moment you wake up, you know, 45 minutes at least, you know. I mean, sit in samadhi, try to concentrate. If it is good or not, that it doesn't matter, yeah? We want to do the work, yeah? The work to concentrate the mind on one point, yeah? Because that also helps us, you know, to understand what is going on in our life. That helps us, you know, to be more, have more sati during the day. And then when we come home, you know, we don't want to know anything that happened that day, you know. I mean, we just want to clear the mind, you know, concentrate it on the Buddha, concentrate it on the breath. And after that, you know, make a daily reflection. What happened, you know, and see what leads to what. That is the understanding, that is wisdom. Yeah. You understand that?
Yes, I am understanding this. And I'm really sorry, like I'm...
You don't have to be sorry to me. You have to be sorry to yourself.
Yeah, but the daily reflection part is just... You know, I feel like I'm doing something which is related to brain, part of memory and all.
Yeah. So it
doesn't feel really intuitive.
I mean, I don't deny that. I said, you know, but streamline it, yeah, so that it is more effective. And that is, you know, I mean, if you don't like samadhi, you know, I mean, there's something wrong with your practice, yeah?
No, it's fine. I actually sometimes end up dropping into, samadhi, but actually quite calm
peaceful
state.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as you do it daily, yeah? In the morning, as I said, you know, I mean, and whatever happens then, you know, I mean, what you told me, you know, it seems fine, you know, it seems, you know, you open up, you know, I mean, you see things much more clearly than all the people around you, yeah? That is the right direction, yeah? But what I'm suggesting is streamline it, you know, I mean, keep, you know, a basic schedule, yeah? Morning practice, you know, evening practice, you know, reflection, and then, you know, then you see what is going on, and then whatever you said, you know, I mean, this will just open yourself up to understand more and more and more. But this understanding, you know, takes a long, long time, yeah, before, yeah. Okay?
So the investigation part is going great. I mean, going fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
it will go better, you know, the more deeper you can go into samadhi, because then you see clearer, more clear. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, any more questions? Yeah? Well, then do something worthwhile with your life, yeah? Don't hang on the smartphones, you know. I mean, this is, Lungta Mahabua at the time, you know, I mean, where these handies, yeah, at the time it was called handies, yeah? Handphones, yeah? Came out, you know. I mean, he called them all, you know, the handies, you know, and the TVs, you know, he called them Devatatta, yeah? The one who, you know, deceives us. Who leads us in the wrong direction, yeah? Use it, you know, for your work or when you need to use it, but, you know, then keep it also in sight, yeah? I do have a phone, you know, but it is mostly in my office. If I'm not in my office, you know, people cannot reach me. So, Tani, if you don't have any questions, you know?
Yeah? Oh, there's one more.
There's one more?
Yeah, PH, you want to unmute yourself? Yeah?
Yeah?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, speak a little bit louder.
Okay, is this better?
It's a bit better. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Because you're talking about daily reflections.
Yeah.
Which I do regularly. But sometimes I'm just quite caught up with, you know, sometimes like important contemplations that the Buddha talk about, contemplating death on every breath. So I don't do that very regularly unless someone I know passed away or somebody famous passed away, then that catches your attention. But it's not something I would do regularly. I sometimes wonder whether I'm not doing enough. So I'm not sure how should I look at it. Should I just wait for occasional things to happen, then I reflect? But the daily reflection, I just do every night. I do it regularly.
Yeah.
So may I know... How should I approach it?
No, that is fine. That is fine. You know, I mean, if you see something in the newspapers or see something on TV, yeah, or if you look at that, you know, at the the horror show that comes out of Gaza where you see people being killed and starved to death, then you can reflect about, you know, death, yeah. But anyway, the daily reflection, yeah. The reflection about death, yeah, I mean, comes much more when we start really to investigate the body. Yeah? Then we do it. Yeah, but these occasions, you know, I mean, you come across people who die, you know, and then you can reflect, you know, even I will die, you know, I will be in the same kind of misery. When you go to the hospital, you see the people, you know, at the end of their rope, you know, who just wait for death to come. Yeah, then you can reflect about it. Sooner or later, I will be in the same situation. Yeah, so what is most important in my life is important that I have sati in the situation, that I know what is going on, yeah? That I see my attention, that I see my attraction to this or my hate of that. Yeah. So the daily reflection, yes, it's good, yeah. Do it daily, yeah. And don't think about it, yeah. Don't label it, it's good or bad, yeah. Just see it as it is, yeah. And once you do investigation of the body, then, of course, then we can reflect about death much, much more, yeah. And you have the time, yeah, also. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, then we leave it, yeah. I think it's already 1 hour, yeah?
Okay.
I mean, we will have, towards the end of the month, we still have, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the 3rd or the 4th week of August?
What? The 4th week, you know? Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a Saturday in the 4th week, you know, there should be. Yeah. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Lompo.
Yeah, you're all welcome, you know? Keep up your practice, yeah?
May I also pay respects to Lompo by bowing 3 times? Okay, thanks everyone. See you next time.
Okay, bye bye. Yes, yes, the body, the body. It hurts. What is dukkha vedana? That is called dukkha vedana. Painful feeling of the body. Yeah. Yeah. What is it? You don't want it. Yeah. And that what, you know, that leaves us, you know, that leaves us to the illusion, you know, we don't understand what is painful feeling. I mean, when you die, there's a lot of painful feeling. Yeah? Yeah? So, I mean, at least, you know, we can stay calm with it and see what it is. Yeah? And then once we understand it, we don't have to be afraid of it. Yeah? Do some sitting, you know, until you know it really shows up, and then, okay, wonderful, you know, it's the best concentration object I have, yeah. The mind doesn't go away from it, yeah. But don't push it away, yeah. Don't want to get rid of it, yeah. Just look at it, you know, and it will normally it can disappear within minutes, yeah. It's gone. But if it want to disappear, it stays on and becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay. Questions? Okay. Then we stop. Yeah. We finished.